Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valenti Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valenti Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
Hello and welcome to the Carson Anderson radio program. I am Doug Karsh. That is Scott the Gator Anderson. Hello, Scott Anderson. How are you?
I'm fine, Doug Karsh. How are you?
I'm doing well. Took in some Monday Night Football. Got some prep work done for Michigan and Nebraska this weekend. I did something yesterday I haven't done in years. In years, Gator.
Years.
I think the last time I did this was probably Mother's Day of like 2015.
The last time it was Mother's Day, huh?
Yeah, because life has really sped up since, you know, kids moved out.
All right.
Yeah.
Right.
Empty nesters. There's no games to go to, no practices to take them to, like nothing.
Mother's Day.
Do you care to venture a guess? Mother's Day, and so I, you know.
Usually it's Mother's Day, you do something for the wife.
Yep.
Would you cook dinner just for the two of you?
Nope. Oh. I do that all the time.
Oh, well, look at this man. Yeah. There's a real man, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Sorry, ladies, he's taken.
Yep.
Did you wash a car? I don't know.
I've tried.
Is that really?
Yeah. Hand washed all three cars.
Look at that.
So just when you think life gets boring, when the kids move out and you become empty nesters.
You'd be dead wrong.
What a day. What a day.
I did that a few weeks ago. Washed a car. And that was the first time that I had hand washed a car in a while.
I've hand washed a car. Yesterday, I hand washed all three cars. And I was only going to go because we got a lease that's expiring. So we're going to have, you know, we had the... For a while there, we had, you know, all summer long, we had all three kids in the house. But with the lease expiring coming up, we still have the three cars. And I was like, God, I really need to wash my car. And I washed my car. And then I'm like, the other one's right there. I may as well do it while I'm here. And then my wife pulled up and I'm like, okay.
There we go.
So I hand washed all three cars.
Did you go shirtless for this? It was a nice day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn right I did. Did a little yard work while I was at it, so... Fast day, my friend. Fast.
You tip
day.
Well?
You know what's funny? I was thinking about, okay, so typically if I took all three cars to like the car wash,
yeah,
it could cost anywhere between like $8 and $20.
Depending which car wash, yeah.
Exactly. So I was trying to figure out, all right, by hand washing them, I'm probably getting a higher quality job than like the $8 car wash. Although, who knows?
In some ways.
Yeah, in some ways not. No. Yeah. But I mean, it could. So I'm like, was this hour worth anywhere between $24 and $60? Because that's what I saved. My answer was probably not. Probably just take him to the drive-thru again. But, it was a nice day. I wanted to be outside, put on podcasts, put on, you know, stuff out of Nebraska that I could listen to get ready for the game and making notes and all that. But, yeah, hand-washed all three cars. And the last time we did was Mother's Day, and it might have been about 2015 when I said to the kids, all right, we're going to do some yard work. We're gonna wash all three cars.
I've noticed this. It was something kind of weird. Like if you take the car through a car wash, mm-hmm, you know, and you're in the car and in neutral, the whole thing. One of the car washes I go to, which shall remain nameless, but I always find it weird getting towards the end. Mm-hmm. There's like another dump of suds on the car. And then the water that comes to rinse it away, it's almost like it falls like rain. It's not like a real hard spray. And I'm always like, how on earth is this going to wash the suds away? I don't know if that's ever happen to you, or if that happened to anybody else, when you get through a car wash, it's like the last, almost the second to last thing you're doing is throwing more suds.
You wonder what good this does.
Yeah, how is this possibly going to work?
Yeah, I don't know.
And somehow it sort of does.
I don't know.
And it's a franchise, so different franchises, they're the way you go through the car wash. There's like a different sequence of events. Like one has the suds as second to last, another one has really good spray at the end. It's just there's no like no rhyme or reason.
I don't know.
Maybe I just need to hand wash all my car.
Maybe. I mean, I'd ask you what you did, but I obviously didn't mean to upstage anything that you possibly could have done with the hand washing of the cars. But what did you end up doing?
That's funny. I got home. I was tired. I took a nap on the couch with the dog on top of me, which is that's my favorite thing in life. When she's kind enough to stay put for about 45 minutes. And I got a text from my brother. He said, "Hey," and he sent me a bunch of tee times. "Any chance you want to come out and play golf?" And there were tee times starting at like 4:51. I'm like, "Yeah, why not? 9 holes? Sure, I'll do that. But I'm going to have to leave now because it's over on the other side of town. But sure, why not?" So I played what was going to be 9 holes and turned into 12-ish holes because we finished the round of 9 and then we just, let's go off on the front 9. Let's see, maybe treat it like Twilight Golf. Get a couple holes in there. And something happened to us that really makes golf difficult. We had just finished the 10th hole, and we're ready to tee off on the 11th hole, which is a par 3. And my brother says, "Oh, here comes a ranger. We're busted." You know, because we figured we didn't know if it was Twilight Rain or not. Right, we just keep going.
He was stealing golf, people.
Yeah, and my brother's like, "Hey, how's it going?" He's "Good, good. How you guys doing?" "Good, good." And my brother makes some joke, and he goes, "Oh, you just got to put it in the middle of the green." You know, I'm like, "Oh, okay." And he's not kicking us off. It's pretty cool. And then he goes, "Yeah, normally we finish up around 7:10, 7:15, guys." He goes, "I'm just going to go ahead and go ahead of you, and I'm taking the flags. I'm taking the pins." We're like, "Okay." So he's like, "Let's play." When you take away the pin in golf, if it's not, now, like we saw where it was at a par 3. The next hole was a par 5. Once we got up to the green, where we could see the green in the distance, like we're ready in our approach shots, we're like, "No idea where the hole is."
That's funny.
No idea whatsoever because he took the flag. Yeah. And then we have range finders and we're like, "Well, this isn't going to help us out." So, and then once you get on the green, we're hunting for the, where is the hole on the green? Where is it? "Oh, it's over here. I got it." Okay. And then we made a mistake. My brother made a mistake. He was driving the cart and we were going to see if we could get squeeze another hole in before the sun went down. We realized now it's not going to happen and we're going to be hitting directly into the sun. That's just a mess. So my brother starts to take off, and his golf course is kind of in a neighborhood. And now he's going down like the road of the neighborhood as opposed to the cart paths to get us back to the clubhouse because, like we said, we're a few holes ahead. And we end up, and he's like, "Should we go through this guy's yard to get back on the course?" I'm like, "No, we're not going to do that." So we had to take the long way back and eventually find our way back. But it was a good time.
Well, there you go. I'm washing cars. Next time I probably should just go golf. That sounds way better. Carson Anderson, 248-539-9797. Tell you what, let's get back to some sports stuff like college football. Yeah, I want your thoughts on what the morning show was talking about there, Gator. We'll talk a little Spartans. We'll swing around the country at 10:30. We'll talk some Michigan later. It is Carson Anderson on a Tuesday on 97.1.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
Doug Harsh, Scott Anderson, 97 won the ticket. Michigan State won a game I call art game. Like, if you want it, the fans want it to look like a work of art where everything just looks perfectly manicured and it goes together nicely and like it's all planned out. And they won the game, but it probably wasn't considered like a work of art against Youngstown State this weekend. But led to some complaining on the morning show, and you were pretty surprised by it.
I was. I'm not sure. What are we complaining about? I mean, honestly, what's the issue with Michigan State?
Well, you heard the show. I mean,
people were just like they're upset with Jonathan Smith, and I'm flabbergasted. I don't know why people are that upset with Jonathan Smith. I mean, they're off to a 3-0 start for the second year in a row. They do look better than they did last year. The tough game right off the bat against Boston College. They beat Boston College. In fact, they came back, showed some moxie to do it. Handled their business against Youngstown State. Were people upset because it was only a 17-point win? They didn't cover the spread. Is that it? Aiden Childs looks like he's much better this year than what we saw last year. He didn't throw an interception until his third game of the season, went 176 passes without throwing a pick. He's making plays with his feet. The running game looks better. They stopped the run very well. I'm not sure I understand it. I guess in today's college football, people want the big jump. Is the Kurt Cignetti
effect?
Like I said,
no, but they want it to look like a work of art. They want everything. When you play overmanned opponents, they want just total domination from beginning to end. And maybe just because that game didn't look that way against Youngstown, I don't know. The BC win is a nice win. It's a team that I put in their peer group. BC went and lost to Stanford, but you know, if you can't be better than 3-0 after three games,
I don't know. I mean,
that's the bottom line, is you got to win the game. Now, the UCLA writer that wrote about Jonathan Smith is a guy who writes for Sports Illustrated and seems to be not, you know, a lot of SI sites seem to be just fan sites, but this doesn't appear to be one. He's a West Coast guy. He's a Pasadena native. His contract, since Alan Haller left, his contract buyout isn't what it was because they were tied together. But do you have any concerns about that? I feel like there's 70 names thrown out there when a coach gets fired this early in the year.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't. I saw a list of names yesterday for UCLA, and Jonathan Smith's name was not on the list. Because he's a West Coast guy. I mean, he went to Oregon State and did that whole thing. Is it possible? Sure, anything's possible, I guess, that there could be interest. But if he wants to go. You know, don't stop somebody. If they want to leave, don't stop them. You know, it's not like he's the greatest coach in the world, and Michigan State has flipped things around so quickly. But I do like Jonathan Smith as a coach. I like his demeanor. He's cool. He's calm. I think he's brought in a very competent staff with him. When he came over, he was able to bring the quarterback with him and able to bring some other players with him. And I think they're building something here. But, yeah, I mean, I don't worry about it until UCLA actually picks up the phone and says, we want to talk to your coach. And at that point, then you ask the coach what he wants to do. But until that happens, and maybe it never happens, support the guy. I think he's doing some good things. He's building a foundation here.
So the fact that UCLA has moved on from their guy so early means I think both UCLA and Virginia Tech want to get the jump on the next hiring cycle, right? I don't know why you do it 3 weeks. I mean, you know, things might have been doomed, whatever. I don't cover those programs. But I think if you're these are the first programs that are looking for their next head coach, which is this is where search firms come in. Search firms become the people that reach out to the agents for the coaches. And so the coaches can have plausible deniability. I have not talked to them. They have not called me. But a search firm can reach out to an agent for a coach. And so Virginia Tech and UCLA can get the jump on the next hiring cycle and go out and try and, you know, so they're ready to pounce when it's late in the year and a coach might be ready to pull the trigger and say yes. This is going to go away. Everything's going to quiet down. And it's not even making that much noise. It's one writer out of UCLA that wrote that, you know, these are the emerging names, and he put Jonathan Smith's name on there. actually, he's written something this morning. Again, here, I'm just finding the very latest. And he's got another list of names, which do not include Jonathan Smith. So maybe it is, maybe it isn't. You know, it's so early, and he's just getting started at Michigan State. But with that said, if they go win the game on Saturday, I think everybody would get on board. USC looks pretty good.
Yeah, I think this time of the year, USC always looks good, right? They start every year like, oh, USC, they got the quarterback. Here they go. They're going to get rolling. And then they can't get out of their own way and something happens and they just kind of fall apart. At least that's been the post-Pete Carroll era of USC football. But I'm not saying Michigan State's going to win this Saturday night. I hope they do, but I'm not sure how – I don't know how good USC is. Just don't know.
I've been impressed by them early. They're a little bit the same category as a lot of teams. They haven't played anybody yet. They've beaten Missouri State, Georgia Southern, and played a game at Purdue after a long rain delay that they won 33-17, which wasn't exactly a work of art itself. But I think this Maiava might be a pretty damn good quarterback. But with all that said, Michigan State has some health issues going into this game, and we won't know more until later in the week.
Right. They've got Nick Marsh is banged up, but things look positive for he and Mekhi Frazier, the running back, to be able to come back. But Finchich, the offensive lineman, unfortunately, it looks like it's a season ender for him. That's not good. It's a depth guy. Offensive line, they've got 8 or 9 guys they felt going into the season could start. And this is the first one that they're going to see is not going to be with him. Phillips got hurt during the game as well, another guy that's in that rotation, but I don't think his was anything serious.
So you think everybody that's mad should calm down?
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand why everybody is so fired up about this. At least in ticket text to the show, to the morning show. I totally took me by surprise.
248-539-9797.
So just, you know, again, I mentioned, we actually mentioned some of the names for the possible coach for UCLA, the odds on favorites, and you went through the names like John Gruden and Deion Sanders, and even you get to the bottom of the list of the names, which include Troy Aikman and Pete Carroll and Urban Meyer and Nick Saban. Nowhere on this list is Jonathan Smith. So
yeah, like I said, it's a writer for Sports Illustrated that covers UCLA that put his name out there. 248-539-9797. Spartan fans, you want to continue that? Michigan fans, we'll get to the Wolverines. They got an interesting game Saturday in Lincoln, Nebraska. We'll get to them coming up here on Carson Anderson on 97.1. Both teams go to Michigan State goes to Nebraska too, I do believe. So both Michigan and Michigan State will play on the road at USC and at Nebraska. A couple traditional venues. These are fun road trips for fans who get to make them. I encourage. Well, I don't know about USC. I guess I have to admit, I don't know if that's a fun road trip. I know that Nebraska is a great road trip, great town. If you get a chance, I highly recommend it. With that said, we'll swing around the country with some college football questions next. A reminder, you can stream the show using the Odyssey app. Get it for your mobile device today, AUDACY. Also streaming through our website, 971theticket.com, where Evan is either posting or posted the champ and chump of the weekend. As voted on by the people, it doesn't appear to be up yet, but we will be shortly. We'll tweet out the link when it does come out because you people selected the champ and chump. Also stream with video. Go to twitch.tv and youtube.com. Sometimes we get a chance to interact with people there. Streaming chat on both those sites. You can watch the show that way.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
12. It is Carson Anderson, the NIL transfer portal live animal mascot thingy is next on 97.1. All right, let's swing around the country with some college football talk. Heads or tails, Gator?
I would go with tails.
He goes with tails. It is a tail. Would you like to receive or defer?
I will defer.
Okay. All right, Doug. Hope you're ready.
Oh, yeah.
I hope you're ready. All right, question number one. Arch Manning goes 11 for 25 with a touchdown and a pick, but all in all, he looks bad against UTEP. What's going on there, man?
So this could be just a massive misevaluation. The kid coming out of high school, he threw 9 straight incomplete passes against UTEP, and he's missing guys. Like, there are guys running open, and he's throwing the ball sometimes in the vicinity. It's year 3. It's not year 1. I mean, it's too early to completely say this is a bust situation, and he probably does deserve some more time. And you open at Ohio State, yeah, that's a tough way to start your career as a full-time starter. But struggling home against UTEP, yikes. I mean, this is trending in such a bad direction. I almost feel bad for him because some of those misses were big-time misses. I would be very concerned if I were a Texas fan.
Yeah, I think there's reason to be concerned, but I think this is growing pains, just having a very young quarterback with young receivers and high AF expectations. He might very well be a bust, but it is way too early to declare that. Give the kid some time and let him get grounded a little bit before people start throwing that label around there. But I do find it interesting that Texas looks like they struggle more than perhaps they should.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to start asking. Maybe Arch Manning just isn't that good. If you look at his high school career, he never won a state title. There are many at that time who criticized the competition he played against was just lower competition. And maybe there's a reason why he didn't transfer and he sat behind Quinn Ewers. It's because he wasn't good enough and wasn't ready, and he knew this and he needed more seasoning. And now that he comes about as a full-time starter, he's just not that good. Maybe. I don't know. All right, Notre Dame is 0-2. Do they suck?
No. Notre Dame's pretty good. I get it. 0-2 is no way you want to start, but when you lose to Miami and Texas A&M, those are two pretty good teams, and those are two pretty good games. They've got a chance to run the table the rest of the way. USC is the one ranked team right now that stands in their way. But I think that as the season goes on, like what I said with Arch Manning, when you've got a young quarterback like they do in CJ Carr, he's going to get better as the season goes on, as he gets more experience. And when that happens, it's going to catch up with the rest of the talent that's there on that team. They're a well-coached team. I think Notre Dame is very solid. I don't think they're one of the top 5 teams in the country, but I think Notre Dame is way above suck.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Asher, defensive coordinator, might suck, but Notre Dame doesn't suck. They got a redshirt freshman quarterback. They got another one. I mean, Tyler Buckner, who started Notre Dame and started at Alabama, has also played college across. He's the one who drops that extra point hold. It's hard to believe. But they were 2 top teams. They played down to the wire. Look, I don't think they suck at all. I actually think they might be pretty good. Those were both very close games. Sometimes you just don't make the play in the end. But their schedule lightens up significantly. So I would say, no, they don't suck.
Yeah, obviously they played some really good teams to start the season and then didn't come out with a win. So people are going to ask, are we good or not? But they're still ranked in the top 25. So I think people know who they played and they see the schedule coming up. I could still see them running the table, making the playoffs. So no, Notre Dame does not suck, at least not yet. All right, is Vanderbilt for real?
I think they are. They've outscored opponents 120-30. They pounded South Carolina Saturday, and Diego Pavia is one of the absolute most exciting and fun players to watch in college football. Did you see the SEC Any Given Saturday show on Netflix by chance?
No.
Okay. He kind of reminds me of Kenny Stabler.
The snake?
Yeah.
Former Bama quarterback?
Exactly. He's got that gunslinger pool shark vibe. So, yeah, I think they're for real. And Pavia is El Serpiente.
El Serpiente, huh? Nice. The snake.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think it's way too early to tell, but I'm going to doubt that they're for real. I don't think they're for real. It's still Vanderbilt. Yes, they beat South Carolina. And for some reason, South Carolina was ranked as high as they were. I'm not sure why.
Heisman Trophy caliber quarterback.
Okay, great. And they beat South Carolina State. And I forget who the other one was against. And
Virginia Tech, right?
Yeah, I think it was a closer win against Virginia Tech, and they beat South Carolina State, but they scored like 36 points. I don't know. I'm not terribly impressed with what I guess South Carolina. I think they're going to be great. So if Vanderbilt beats them, Vanderbilt seems like they nip somebody every year for the last couple of years. They've gone up and done that, and I can appreciate that, but they are not for real. Reality is going to hit them in a couple of weeks when they take on Alabama.
Reality is going to hit you, Gator. All right. You know, Vanderbilt is for real. Okay. No, but seriously, I think they are for real this year. If you look ahead at the schedule, Alabama's not the same Alabama, okay? Arch Manning, we already spoke about him. I mean, he may not be that good. Texas is struggling. Tennessee has dominated the rivalry, and that's the last game of the season, but it's a rivalry game. I could see Vanderbilt, man, they're ranked in the top 25. I think they are for real. Watch out for Vanderbilt. I could see them doing something this year. All right, have you seen anyone in college football this season that you think be a good fit for the Lions?
You know, it's funny. I want to stare at offensive lines and see which offensive lineman's gonna come out and surprise me, and I can't think of one that stands out to me. And then there's all the skill position players are the ones that you're really gonna see. But I know that that's not where I'm focused on, because I don't care about running back, wide receiver, quarterback for the Detroit Lions, or tight end for that matter. What I'm looking at is either the offensive line or the defense. And the guy who stands out to me, not a position of need, but just a football player, and I figure if you could add this guy, which is no way he's going to be available to you, Caleb Downs, the safety from Ohio State, is so freaking good, and I just think having a guy like that on your team, how can things go bad? Okay, did you miss out on getting, the position of need? But, you know, we know how Brad Holmes drafts. He drafts for best player available, and if Caleb Downs is available to the Lions, I can't imagine he wouldn't be the best player available.
Well, he's pretty damn good. There's no doubt about it. So certainly one to keep an eye on. How about 2028 Bryce Underwood? That'll be about the time when the Lions are looking for the next quarterback.
Oh boy!
And so I wouldn't want him to get a quarterback before then. So the funny thing is, part of it is, I haven't figured out which center I think can dominate yet, or edge right. Honestly, I haven't. It's the season just started, so it's kind of a punch button cop out answer, because on my draft prep, it was going to start if the Lions lost to the Bears, okay? But we didn't have to go there, so I have no draft prep done yet.
Oh, boo, cop out. Yeah. I'm going to dream, Gator. You like to dream? We like to buy the lotto tickets. I'm going to dream. Deny Dennis Sutton. I mean, he's the perfect complement of Hutch. You know, Penn State, they just know how to breed pass rushers, man. The program he comes from, big frame, like I said, perfect complement for Aiden Hutchinson. We're going to be talking about it until they get somebody. So, you know what I mean? So, Brad, just do it already. Which team is the most overrated or underrated after three games?
I'm going to give you one of both. I can't believe South Florida isn't ranked after beating Florida and Boise. Seems weird to me. Penn State at number two with wins over Villanova, Florida International, Nevada. When all five teams ranked directly behind them, all have more impressive wins than Penn State. I would have the Nittany Lions behind LSU, Georgia, Miami, Oregon, and Florida State. And I would have South Florida ranked. So I think South Florida's underrated. Penn State's overrated.
I look at this, and you know, I suppose I could answer it the same way you would. I'll give the overrated first. I think LSU is overrated. I think Brian Kelly is already starting to, he's feeling the heat down there. He's lost his accent, and he's snapping at the media when, you know, they come away beating Florida, and the first question the media asks him is about why isn't the offense working, and Kelly can't handle that question. First question, he can't handle it. He starts going off on this reporter. And then he has to apologize for it. It's just kind of strange. I think LSU is overrated, even though they're struggling, and they've got a Heisman candidate quarterback, a guy who's generally regarded as being a top 10 pick in the draft, and Garrett Nussmeier, but just not playing like it. The underrated, I'm going to say this. Alabama, I think, is a little underrated here. Now, they got a tough game this week against Georgia, right? But the team that you're going to see down the road is going to be one of the toughest teams in the country. They're starting to figure things out there. He's got his quarterback. He's got some players around. They're going to build week to week. They're starting to figure out what it's like to play for that coach. And Kalen DeBoer is a really good football coach. I think that Alabama's underrated.
So I took this question literal because it was overrated or underrated, and I just chose underrated.
That's fine.
That's okay. Exactly. That's okay. Yeah.
So my team is C above answer, Vanderbilt. If it was any other SEC team, they'd re-rank higher, guys. Big road win against South Carolina, the 3-0, three convincing wins. If it wasn't Vanderbilt, they'd be a lot higher where they're ranked, but they are, so I think they're underrated. All right, last one. Which team mascot annoys you the most?
That raggedy-ass Nittany Lion that parades the sidelines at Penn State football games. What the hell is that? I swear to God, this thing is a throwback. It might be the same costume outfit that they had before Joe Paterno got there. They just have not invested in anything that would be resembling a modern-day football team. It's just annoying as hell to me. It doesn't even try to be larger than life like all mascots are. It's just some dude wearing a cat outfit.
I agree. I went with the Nittany Lion because it looks like it's been recycled and reused from a 1960s middle school play.
Yes. How bad does that thing smell, you think?
They all smell terrible, I'm sure.
Well, yeah.
That one looks like it smells terrible.
Okay. Just brutal.
All right, I got Notre Dame leprechaun guy. Dude, wear a hell, wear something on your head. I don't want to see your face. That annoys me the most. Because I think mascots should all be wearing the full getup from head to toe. And he's just like a dude running around, right?
Hey, I got a gold vest and a green hat.
He's feisty. He's like Scrappy Doo, and nobody likes Scrappy Doo.
There you go. That concludes the live animal mascot transfer portal NIL blitz thingy. People have asked about Goff. He will join us next week. Next show, tomorrow.
That's tomorrow. It's a long way to go. He'll join us tomorrow.
He'll be with us tomorrow because they play a Monday night game. That's all I needed to say, and I completely effed it up. I'm new here. I apologize. 97.1. Do you want to talk about it?
I mean, I thought it was an interesting tweet from Albert Breer, pro football guy.
Mm-hmm.
The week-to-week crowning/crushing of quarterbacks has never been worse than it is right now. It's like every game is played in a vacuum with sweeping judgments needed every week and based only on what you just saw.
So, a couple things here. Albert, I agree. Peter, do you agree?
Yeah, but...
it's not new.
Welcome to the world of social media.
He's saying it's worse now than it's ever been. We've talked about something that we sort of have pushed back a little bit against, and that is, for us, it does feel like our industry has become insanely hot takey, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I always use the phrase, people like to take short-term results and draw long-term conclusions. It's kind of my nature. I've gone the other way. I zoom out and I try and see a long timeline. Okay. What does things look like over the course of a longer timeline? It's why I didn't panic last week when the Lions lost. It's also why I didn't panic Both of us, I apologize. Both of us didn't panic because we're kind of on the same page with this. When the Tigers were going through that god awful historic bad stretch in the middle of the season. And yet it does feel like what happens every game dictates conclusions. And we started this years ago with the whole plant the flag. We plant a flag and you stand by the flag. Because if you don't stand, if you're going to say something, right, and you're going to believe it, then the moment it starts to take on water, it goes off, the plan goes a slightly awry, and you bail on it, then what good is your proclamations in the first place? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So what that leads to us is going down with the ship at times, but yay, it's the way we choose to do the show. Albert Breer is right. I don't know if it's worse now than it's ever been, or it's just as bad as it's always been.
I think Albert Breer is a little late to the party on this one.
Maybe. I mean, but you know, here's the other thing about sports, and this is why I'm not that mad about it, nor should I get mad about it. And sometimes I don't want to get super preachy. The emotions and the word fan is fanatic. It all is part of what sports is. And if there weren't these kinds of crazy emotions, it wouldn't be that interesting. And one thing, like, what is my favorite sport's college football. Why is my favorite sport college football? Because people do crazy things and the lengths that people go to and the passion that they take to the table and the crushing losses and the thrill of victory and the shots of stands. Your home team loses and there's people just sitting in the stands stunned, staring off into space.
The surrender cobra.
Yeah, I mean, it's what makes it great too. So I don't want to dampen people's emotions and their wild emotional swings from week to week because it makes it fun too. But yeah, it is.
Well, the world.
I get a little irritated when I look up at my TV and I see, you know, is Joe Burrow the greatest quarterback bust of all time?
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. Yeah. Right, yeah, I got it.
Right, 100%. And maybe this is where it comes from. Maybe I'm reading this like you're late to the party, but if he's saying worse now than it ever has been, we feel like social media is at its peak. There's more ways to get your point across. AI is a big part of it, and you know, the videos are all over the place. But just thinking about like the NFL, because that's what Breer covers. And you look at one week to the next, it really is amazing. Like one week, Jared Goff can't get it done. Next week, 323, five touchdowns and 156 rating in the game, and he's back on top again. J.J. McCarthy, fourth quarter for the ages. Next game, can't get out of his own way, and then now he's out for 2 to 4 weeks with an ankle injury. Joe Burrow, is he ever going to get back to a Super Bowl? Or is it, and now he's got an injury. It's going to keep him out for maybe 3 months or longer. I mean, I was watching the game last night and Houston's playing and I'm like, remember CJ Stroud a couple of years ago, that rookie season had a rookie season for the ages, was unbelievable. Then had a really down second year. Here he is. This is year three for CJ, three or four, whatever it is. And again, not off to a great start. And now I'm asking myself, does Houston suck? Is it, they have a CJ Stroud problem? What's going on? And it's with everything. You know, and if you're the quarterback of the team, quarterback of an NFL team is the most scrutinized position in all of sports, without question. And that's why they get paid the biggest bucks.
In this country, yes. In Canada, is a goalie. In Canada, you're a goalie.
Well, it's
your captain in this NHL.
Country,
yeah, in this country, yes.
This country, yeah. Yeah. So it's just, it is what it is. I don't know if he's oversensitive to it now or why he is. I guess I've gotten a little numb to the criticism because we hear it every day and we have heard it every day, whether it's our quarterbacks or others or whatever. And we just, you know, we follow it closely, but here's a guy, literally his job. I'm surprised he's coming to realization now.
Yep. Well, anyway, it is take all of social media and everything you see out there, please, with a grain of salt on things that are sports and things that are way more serious than sports. Kang likes to tell us, and he'd tell me this probably once or twice a week, nothing on the internet is true. Where did it come from? Where did that come from? Where did this come from? Because I mean, what you see too is the other thing is things get in the internet echo chamber, like rumors, and then they just start getting to be believed as facts. And that's terribly unhealthy as well. But anyway. Do we soapbox? Are we soapboxing? I think we're soapboxing here a little bit.
Well, let's not do that.
So, anyway, sports, games, football. Lions taking on Baltimore on Monday night. This feels like a early season litmus test of what the true Lions actually are. Because game one was terrible. Game two was way better. I didn't think game one was going to be what the season was going to look like. I expect them to be way more competitive against Baltimore than they were against Green Bay. And it's mostly because how many times did we hear leading into game two was communication, and then game two looked like a well-oiled machine. So they got to figure out a way to communicate better against a hostile environment because the Raven fans are going to be loud AF. Something interesting happened over the weekend. And it's something that I don't know if the blueprint is necessarily there, and I'm not sure if the blueprint really matters. Baltimore beat Cleveland 41-17. Okay. That is a healthy, healthy, robust win for the Baltimore Ravens, although they kind of blew it open in the second half. But what felt like something that was unstoppable, the Ravens' run game wasn't particularly good. I'm trying to bring up the box score here.
Now they had like 40 yards on 20 carries.
Derrick Henry had 11 carries for 23 yards. Lamar Jackson had 2 carries for 13 yards. Is there a breakthrough in how to defend the Baltimore rushing attack? And maybe it doesn't matter because Lamar threw for 4 touchdowns and they won 41-17.
But he didn't throw for like a crazy amount of yards. Like, what was it, 220 yards or something like that?
125 yards, 4 touchdowns, 19 of 29. He got sacked 3 times, 2 carries, 13 yards.
Yeah, so I mean, if I were a defense coordinator, I would probably say, okay, we're going to stop the run. We're not going to let Derrick Henry beat us, and we're going to try to keep Lamar Jackson in the pocket. Don't let him get out of the pocket. And then if he's going to beat us, he's going to have to beat us through the air. The problem is with that is that now the Ravens have pretty good wide receivers. They've got a tandem that's awfully good. And in the past, maybe you could say you could try to do that, and the Ravens didn't have those receivers. But Zay Flowers is great. And they even have tight end, and Mark Andrews is really good. But I still would abide by that. You're going to have to beat us through the air. We're going to have the Lions going to have to trust their secondary to get the job done. And you know, Kirby Joseph is very opportunistic. We love Brian Branch. Those two guys back there are going to have to play a huge role in this game. But is Lamar Jackson still one of the top three players in the National Football League? Absolutely, he is. And now maybe we're going to start to see him calm down what he has to do with his feet, and he's going to show everybody he can do it with his arm.
Well, if you take a look at yards per game in the National Football League after a couple weeks, the Lions are 5th in yards per game. Baltimore's 10th in points per game. Baltimore's 1st, Lions are 3rd, which is hysterical.
Well, it's
games. Nothing, yeah. But I'm sure this is going to be billed as an offensive shootout, and I expect it probably is going to be, actually.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at just like yards rushing, because week 1, Baltimore had over 200 yards rushing.
Mm-hmm.
But week 2, it's like 40 yards rushing.
Yep.
You know, you could do your...
You like stats? We got stats. Yeah, no, we're not going to do that. But it's funny how the week 1 offensive panic is this, after 2 weeks, it looks like last year. Do you know what the total is on the Lions and the Ravens?
I would guess it's 49.
Higher?
52.
It's 51.5.
All right.
And I'm inclined to go over that. Early read on that game. Inclined to go over it. All right, Gator. Jimmy Fallon, tonight's show last night. Want to talk about it. Taped here in Detroit. We'll get to that today at 11:05. Plus, later next hour, somebody in the league says they're done with. Absolutely done with it. And I am too. Not at 11:30. I'm 97.1 The Ticket.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.